Now that the NFL draft is here, you need to subscribe to the SB Nation NFL Show. Our team of national and local experts have the NFL draft covered from every angle. Plus, we're bringing in big-name guests and leading minds from around the industry. Subscribe to the SB Nation NFL Show wherever you get your podcasts for the best coverage of the NFL draft and beyond.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast. With any of you, the Matadors, you are on once again with your boy, Albie Shore. And the gang's all here. I got my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe, with me. What's up, Dylan?
You know, I'm excited to do a podcast that has an ounce of optimism because Baylor Bears are in town.
Baylor Bears are in town, and rounding out the gang is the number one Baylor fan in Lubbock, Jeremy Gillen. What's up, Jeremy?
Yeah. You know what's funny is that I actually almost went to Baylor. I had a presidential scholarship and it was like you get 30 grand a year, and I was like, this is the best news that has ever happened to me in the like my existence on earth. And then I looked up how much that would really take off for my tuition, because in my mind I'm like, oh shoot, that's like a free ride. I did not take into account that it's a private school, and it was like worthless. It was like here's a little bit, but you have
here's
a lot to go.
Here's what makes this school normal priced.
Yeah, I was like, that exactly. And so I was like, no, that's okay. I'm going to go
somewhere else. How much did you say your scholarship was?
It was 30 a year.
Oh, yeah. See, mine, I think, was 60,000 total, and that was still like twice the price of what Tech would be. So as you can tell, it's Baylor Trash Talk Week. And the first thing we've started to get in on is the fact that Baylor's hella expensive. That's reason number one you should hate the Baylor Bears. Reason number one you should probably like the Baylor Bears is because they're so bad that Tech might actually win this week. So what is your first reaction when you think of Texas Tech playing Baylor this week, Dylan?
Not what I would typically expect. I think you set it up well. Baylor is not who they typically are this year. Whether it be a new coach or their COVID concerns coming into the season, the regression of Charlie Brewer. Baylor is not, they're not who we thought they were. but yeah, I have a lot of optimism heading into this ball game.
What about you, Jeremy?
This game is a toss up, and it's not a toss up because of skill. It is a toss up because there is no skill. There is nothing special about either of these teams. And in that category, I say, for a team that has excelled so well in not being special for a long time, give me the edge to Texas Tech. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Oh, some Texas Tech optimism on the podcast. That's what I'm talking
this
about.
This is fresh for the Air Raid podcast.
This is fresh. We've been told that we trashed the football team consistently, and well, the team's 2-5, so that's really, we're not gonna lie to you guys. So, but some optimism in this. Let's talk first about the Texas Tech offense going up against this Baylor defense, and there was some news that was dropped Wednesday evening that Henry Columbia will start, but Alan Bowman will play. What do you think about that, Dylan?
We kind of got into it pre-pod, but I think that could be a good idea if you planned on using the two quarterbacks any differently than you would one or the other. What I'm saying is when they use Alan Bowman, they call the game no differently than they do when Henry Columbia is the starter. And that's my problem. So if you're going to do this, I need to see you call offense differently for each quarterback. Otherwise, it's worthless. And unfortunately, I have no faith in David Yost to actually do that.
What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, this is not the issue that we've been talking about that needed to be fixed all of a sudden, or the one thing that they wanted to address was the quarterbacks. And we came around to it on the last podcast, or I was mentioning it, that you know, they're very similar in a lot of regards, near identical in most, that you know, maybe the offensive line, maybe the scheme, maybe something else is amiss here. But the coaches were like, let's see how both of them do in the same game. And then we'll figure out who's going to play Kansas. Or, you know, come on.
So let me just say that this is a stupid idea. This is just a flat out stupid idea. I don't, like Dylan was saying, you're not going to, when you have a two quarterback system, you're going to do it. You're going to do it in a situation where, let's say, one is just a very mobile guy. I'm not talking about Henry Columbia mobile where you can just scramble a little bit. I'm talking about like Wildcat type. And then you have one who's the passer. That's the only way that it may even possibly work. And even then, there's an argument that you're just bringing, you're taking your quarterback off the field unnecessarily. Outside of having just two throwers in the game just because, so ridiculously dumb. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, what are you doing? What's going on? I mean, I usually reserve these rants for the end of the podcast, but it's just, it's so dumb. Makes no sense. Guys.
Talk about demoralizing Columbia even further. After taking him off of a good drive to kick, to miss a field goal, you're now all of a sudden like, I didn't trust you for that, Columbia. Also, Alan Bowman's going to play this week too. Like, if you're Columbia, there's nothing left there.
I mean, well, good news bringing up the field goal kicker is, hey, Trey Wolf got benched. So, you know, all our problems are solved.
Ooh. We'll just go for it. As soon as we get near the red zone, we'll just go for a field goal. Only on second down. Baylor's going to be up 21-9, but damn it, we are going to have three solid field goals, and it's going to feel good.
That's the way to do it. Well, let me ask you this, Jeremy. Who is your X factor on offense that's really going to have a good game against Baylor?
You know, I got burnt last week. I think that given... Trying to see, Baylor defensively is pretty balanced. They're top 40. They're 40th in the nation right now for total defense, but they give up probably about 188 passing yards and 180 rushing yards a game. So it is pretty balanced. So if it's going to really come down to anything, I would like for it to come down to our running backs. I do not know if Sir Roderick Thompson will be playing a lot this week. But if he is, please, like, get the running game going, make it effective so that we can open up the passing game. So Roderick Thompson, you've got to come through. If for some reason you're injured and they're just not admitting it, then Taj Brooks, you got to come through. You got to be the X guy.
All right. Jeremy doing what he always does, which is picking multiple people to be his X factors. Dylan, who do you got?
The entire offensive line. No, I'm just kidding.
And if Jeremy picks two people, Dylan picks a whole group of people.
A whole position group. No, my answer was going to be Sir Roderick Thompson as well. And I'm kind of hoping that last week he was borderline injured and they just wanted to keep him healthy. So they gave him the week off, basically. That's what I'm hoping happened with Sir Roderick Thompson. They haven't said much about what's going on, but Baylor gives up 4.2 yards per carry. That's not good, even though Texas Tech is giving up 4.5 yards per carry. I think there's a lot of opportunity for a healthy Sir Roderick Thompson in this game, especially with this two quarterback nonsense going on.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, with the whole two quarterback thing, my X factor actually ends up being Kashawn Carter. I do think he should be playing this week, and I think having him back in the passing game would be ideal, right? Like I think having him back in the passing game to help out this weird system that they have in place will definitely make one of the quarterbacks calm, if not both of the quarterbacks calmer. Eric Uzukama is going to ball regardless. He can't be an X factor when you're the factor in every game. So I think having a guy like, and then Vasher's disappeared. So Kashawn Carter needs to be that steady piece between the two of those guys. To really make something shake. And since y'all took the running backs, I got to go in a different direction anyway. Jeremy, you kind of brought up about Baylor's defense and how much they've struggled this year, which is a large juxtaposition to how good they were last year, right? Going from arguably the best defense in the Big 12 last year to now one of the worst. A lot of that has to do with the departures from last year's defense and then, of course, the new coaching staff. Let's talk about Texas Tech's defense a little bit, because just like we're fighting, this is a battle for the second worst team in the conference. This is probably also a battle for the second worst defense in the conference. So who on the defensive side of the ball do you think really needs to have a big game?
I wanted to state that Baylor, although, or clarify that Baylor, although not having a good a year as they did last year, is still, in Macon's language, leaps and bounds better than our defense. For me, man, given this, I picked Zach McPherson last game and it felt pretty good. But I think this week I need to have Krishan Merriweather step back into kind of a dominating linebacking role this game, with the nature of Baylor's running backs and Charlie Brewer, just to dominate that and force Brewer to throw downfield. So give me Krishan Merriweather and one person pick, and it hurts.
Yeah, you go, my boy Krishan, huh? Hey, I'm not mad at you. What about you, Dylan? Who do you like in this game?
You know, I'm going to go the Zach McPherson route. I think there's big opportunity there. Charlie Brewer makes a lot of mistakes. I think he's got 5 interceptions on only 11 touchdowns this year. He has the turnover bug, and it's not going anywhere. No 2-week quarantine period for the turnover bug. We need Zach McPherson to get a pick six or something in this game. We have to keep this trend going of taking it away from Charlie Brewer. So I'm going to go with a corner who I think has like the best playmaking abilities out there.
So ladies and gentlemen, I know you see what I'm seeing here, right? Dylan Smythe and Jeremy Gillen have just said, you know, Albie has talked up these guys all year long. So we're just going to ride the coattails on my
boys. You have not talked up Zach McPherson at all. That was me at the beginning of the season.
What are you talking about?
At the beginning of the season, I said Zach McPherson is going to be our best defensive back.
What are you talking about?
And you drug me. You drug me.
No, you said DeMarcus. No, you said DeMarcus Fields.
No. Roll the tape, Dylan. No.
Oh, well, if you said he's going to be good, then never mind. He sucks. So... no, but I do think Zach McPherson's a good pick in this. Look, before I say my thing, Charlie Brewer has been all over the place this year. At the beginning of the season, I actually thought Charlie Brewer was going to be, I think I had him as my second best quarterback in the conference, only behind Brock Purdy. So far, I've been wrong about both of them. Brock Purdy hasn't looked too hot, and Charlie Brewer has looked awful. Like, we have our quarterback problems at times with Bowman and Columbia. I'd argue Charlie Brewer has looked worse than both this year. He's really been all over the place. However, last game against Iowa State played really well. That scares me.
He's been awful until the week before he plays us.
Yeah, so that scares me. So you got Zach McPherson. I'm going to DeMarcus Fields. I'm with you. I think the secondary has to play really well in this game. DeMarcus Fields was a guy that was able to get turnovers last year. He needs to get some more turnovers this year. I think that if we can get one turnover from either McPherson or Fields, I'll be happy, right? I'll be really happy, because if Baylor offense plays like they did last week against a really good Iowa State defense, I'm worried. Watching that Baylor Iowa State game last week, I was like, this is gonna be tough.
And something to note about that game, they got Tristan Ebner back, who's honestly one of their best receivers despite being a running back. He's going to be trouble to watch for, and then now they're getting John Lovett back. So they're two running backs who initially opted out. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago. They have opted back in or something, I don't know, but they're both expected to play on Saturday.
See, so yeah, so everything's coming together for them when we don't want it to. So that in itself is a bit of a problem. But, I mean, I will say Baylor does still have injury bugs themselves. Their leading tackler should be out for this game as well.
Terrell Bernard. He's been on a tear for them all season. They lost him for the entire year last week.
Yeah. So that's huge. I mean, you know, prayers up to Terrell Bernard, but that's huge for Tech not having to necessarily deal with a beast like that. But like you said, love it. Actually playing this week isn't ideal whatsoever. So, guys, enough of this Tech Baylor talk. Let's talk some other Big 12 football games. Let's make some predictions.
Or one other Big 12 football game.
Yeah. It's a terrible week to have two games when all the other big games around the country are getting canceled.
Are we guaranteed? Are we sure this one's not going to get canceled?
At this point, cancel football.
4 p.m., we're like prime time. You know? Once again, Texas Tech in prime time against a garbage team.
You know, no, I mean, really, you know, this is really the year that we should just cancel football together, right? I mean, let's forget about the records. Let's forget the season even happened. Let's just cancel football altogether, just erase it all.
A mulligan.
You know.
Wales can go back to Utah State.
Give me a time machine so we can hire Sonny Dykes.
Sonny Dykes, Neil Brown. Speaking of Neil Brown, West Virginia does play TCU at home. And Mountaineer Field, who you got in this game, Dylan?
Man, I don't really know what to think of West Virginia since they lost to us. They're kind of up and down, up and down. I don't trust TCU either. Man, this is a trouble game. I think it's really hard to pick. I think I give the nod to West Virginia mostly because of their defensive line, and I think they'll be able to generate pressure on Max Duggan and then contain him on those big runs that burned us. So West Virginia,
huh? Going with the Fighting Neil Browns. What about you, Jeremy?
Jared Daigie last week against Texas had a pretty good game, although not, you know, getting any touchdowns. I think that they've remedied that. He's getting a little bit better every game. Dylan's right to be skeptical. I mean, they go and beat Kansas State, but then they fail to get, I mean, they get 37 on Kansas State and they fail to get even two touchdowns on Texas. But I think that they bounce back this week against TCU. And really, if it's just a battle between Duggan and Daigie, I think Daigie's the more hot hand right now. So give me West Virginia.
You're going West Virginia. Both of y'all are going West Virginia, huh?
You're so tempted to pick TCU right now, but...
The Mountaineers, who I've been chugging along all year, the Fighting Neil Browns. I really like this team going up against TCU, the team I hate with a passion. I don't like TCU whatsoever. This is a team they're basically fighting for. I mean, right now, everybody's eligible for a bowl, but not everybody's going to go to a bowl. This is kind of an interesting battle to where the loser may not be able to go to a bowl. That's kind of where the pecking order they are right now. The loser of this game will have an above or a below 500 record in the conference. So y'all know where I'm going, right? I really want to pick TCU because both of y'all picked West Virginia. I really do. But I'm picking West Virginia also. They're at home. I like Daigie. Duggan looked terrible against Tech last week passing the ball. And the fact that West Virginia just lost and TCU just won, that just tells me that I got to go West Virginia in this game. But Lord, do I want to pick TCU because you both picked West Virginia. I came really close. Even when I started my intro, I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it.
West Virginia is only a 3-point favorite in this game.
Yeah, I mean, they're very even teams.
Yeah. Right?
It's close. It's very close. But I'll go West Virginia at home. So let's get into it. Texas Tech going against Baylor, home game, Jones AT&T Stadium. Charlie Brewer, we may hear about the fact that Charlie Brewer's brother used to play at Texas Tech for the entire game, just like we heard about Jared Daigie. The only difference is Michael Brewer was never a starter, so there's that. But was supposed to be. Damn back problems. But yeah, Dylan, who you got?
All right. I'm like scared to pick Texas Tech at this point. You know, it's just the fact that Baylor has shown some life on offense last week. Charlie Brewer looked like the Charlie Brewer of last year in his game last week. It scares me, but we're in the Jones. Texas Tech is due for a win at this point. I just think the heat is on Matt Wells. If he loses this game and then follows it up with a dud next week, he's done for, in my opinion.
After two seasons?
It's just, you can't lose to Baylor and then Kansas. Isn't Kansas next? You can't lose. No,
Oklahoma State. Oh, okay. Oklahoma State.
Yeah. I was worried. I was thinking we had Kansas next. And I was like, if he loses to Baylor and then Kansas, he's toast. I'm going to pick Texas Tech solely on the basis of, like, these coaches are on the hot seat. And if they royally screw this one up, they are going to be feeling it. So Texas Tech in a close one.
Jeremy, who you got?
Oh, man. 1-4 Baylor Bears. Getting so many games, like, shuffled around, not having any real time to practice together. Discombobulated most of the season. I thought for sure that Baylor would be the Baylor of old, where they're just the trash of the Big 12. But then they played Iowa State. and I watched some of that game and I thought, wow, they may be putting some things together here late in the season to go just on a final two or three game win streak. Two games. And yeah, who we said is back? Trustin Ebner's back, right?
Ebner's back, and yeah. John Lovett mm-hmm. is back and this Lovett. Week.
Yeah. So that's all I need to know. even though Bernard's it is
hurt.
In Lubbock.
Bernard is hurt.
Okay. So it's back to the Baylor probable win in my mind.
The MVP of their defense is out for the year.
Yeah, man.
Does that mean anything when we're... So here's the X factor is that we're playing Bowman. We're playing Bowman and Columbia. It's going to be chaos. I am not confident. I think a 1-4 Baylor team like that played Iowa State last weekend is infinitely better than the 2-5 Baylor or a Texas Tech team the way we played TCU last weekend. I just like there's no way we get the win here. I just feel like it's going to be better coaching on their end of things. Yeah, they have their best defensive player out, but that doesn't seem to mean anything to Texas Tech. I think we'll still throw screens. I think we'll still fumble the ball. I think we'll still, it'll just be hectic. And I just see Baylor edging Texas Tech late in the fourth quarter.
So it all comes down to me. So you listen to every pod, you know I like to crap on Baylor as much as possible, right? Charlie Brewer has not been good this year. Let's get that out of the way. Charlie Brewer has not been good this year whatsoever. He did have his best game of the season last week, but he's a turnover machine. He's been throwing picks like crazy. Like I said, I do think that either DeMarcus Fields or Zach McPherson is going to get an interception in this game. Texas Tech has talent. They have the talent to do it. You can even argue they might even be more talented than Baylor. This is going to be a close game. This is actually going to be an exciting game where we actually have a chance to win. And it's not going to surprise us like Texas. We're like, oh, maybe we have 3 minutes and 13 seconds. We're up 15. It's not going to be like that. And it's not going to be just a bad loss like TCU was. You know, this is actually going to be a close game between two really bad teams. I was going to pick Texas Tech. And then Matt Wells said he's going to play both Alan Bowman and Henry Columbia.
There it is.
I was ready to do this podcast this week, and to finally, because I haven't picked Texas Tech since I picked them to beat at HBU. Like I haven't picked Tech at all this year, right? I had them losing every other game because they didn't look good. And I was ready to pick them this week, and then I saw the announcement that Alan Bowman and Henry Columbia are going to play. This team is off the rails at this point. The last two games against Oklahoma and against TCU have looked bad. What ends up happening when that situation is? You get distrust within the locker room. You hear stuff like the kicker being benched, two quarterback systems, and when you the faith in the coach has to be dissipating. And we saw that Baylor has started to rise up a little bit. Last week's game, they almost beat a decent Iowa State team with Charlie Brewer throwing two picks. So it's not like the Brewer might be an interception machine, but it's not affecting them too much. If they get the running game going. With Lovett back, if they get the running game going, which I think they will, Tech's not winning this game. And not only that, I do think it's going to be a close game. Matt Wells and close games have not gone well for the past season and a half. Last year, we were losing close games like crazy. This year, need I remind you, up 15, 3 minutes and 13 seconds to go. And the next week, up in the fourth quarter. That happened in back-to-back weeks. All right? I can't trust this coaching staff after they decided to have two quarterbacks play in this game. I just can't. So, sorry. I got to go Baylor. Got to go Baylor in this game. Yeah.
Boy, don't you feel stupid, Dylan.
No. It's unplaced optimism. Like, Albie is 100% right. Those are all the things that are going through my head. But, like, for the sake of our listeners' sanity, I picked Texas Tech.
No, Tech can definitely win this game. Like let's not be too doom and gloom. Tech can definitely 100% win this game. This is a very winnable game, and this is a battle for the eighth place in the conference. You would hope they win this game. The problem is, and I talked a little. I was on the 10-12 pod the other day, and I talked a little bit about it. The problem is that if Wells does lose this game, He probably is going to be 3-7 on the year this year. Another year that he doesn't go to bowl game. He would have started his Texas Tech career, I believe, the worst start in Tech history after going 4-8 last year. There's no way he gets fired after 2 years. I just put that out there right now. There's no way he will. I don't even care if he loses
the game. I think a lot of coaches get a pass this year, whether they're seen as hot or not. Or
yeah, I agree with that. There's no way he gets fired this year. But I do think I never thought this would be the case. I never thought Tech would pull a Charlie Strong like Texas did. But he goes 2-8 or 3-7 this year. Next year is going to be rough. I do think that this game is the battle for David Yost.
Oh, certainly so. Certainly so.
That he can do the last 2 weeks of the season that saves him. So this is it for David Yost. But it does exhaust excuses for Matt Wells once Yost is gone. Oh, guys, that hurt. That hurt not being able to pick Tech in this game. I really wanted to. Yeah, well, Jeremy, anything else you want to say?
Hey, less than 2 weeks until basketball. And if coronavirus stays the way it is, we may get 1 week of it, but it will be glorious.
Oh, guys, please mask up and be careful. My daughter's school just went to online learning starting tomorrow because of because COVID's wowing. I'm worried about sports. We just got sports back. Everybody needs to stay safe.
Thanks, Alabama.
Dylan, anything you want to say?
Follow the Air Raid Podcast. If you're a listener on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review.
Jeremy will donate $5 for every review to a local charity. Every single one. Okay.
Every single review.
You have to put words. You can't just put the ratings. You got to put words. Yeah. And he will donate
$5
to your favorite charity. So which means that if you don't leave reviews, you're kind of – it's really – the starving kids is on you. I'm going to just put that out there. So for me, big news on the basketball side as well. Jalen Tyson did sign. He is a Red Raider. That should be our only signing for the year. He's having a really good he's had a really good career so far. His stock is rising rapidly. Decent chance he becomes a McDonald's All-American by the time this is all said and done. So he'll be a nice addition to the team next year. But that's future. Right? We can win now, baby. Start Texas Tech basketball team, the 14th ranked team in the nation by AP, 13th ranked team in the nation by USA Today. Starting to get that recognition. It does seem to be a 3 or 4 team race for the Big 12 between Tech, Baylor, Texas, and Kansas. So it should be fun. What's not fun is Texas Tech football. So y'all stay safe. Hopefully Tech can pull out a win this Saturday. Basketball pod soon to come. And as always, stay wrecked, people.